This is Infidel One. Offending Coyote Down. Offending Coyote Down. Roger that.
Welcome to Trapping Radio. We're proud, organic, free-range, wild fur farmers of North America.
Let me tell you a little story about how I was raised. Every day work, every day pray. Got family, friends, yeah, everybody sins. A winner never quits, and a quitter never wins. Help folks in need, don't fall for greed. A jealous man is weak, so think before you speak. If you love them, let them know. If you hate, let it go. Fast can be fun, but sometimes you need slow. God is all good, the devil is so real. So listen up, y'all, cause this is how I feel. I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my trip till I ain't got none. Except for the good Lord up above. I answer to no one.
Now let's cover our sponsors. They do a lot to help support Trapping Radio. So I'm asking you guys out there and gals to help support our sponsors as they keep Trapping Radio on the air. First sponsors, Oki Cable and Trap Supply. Jeb's the owner of this. He's out of Oklahoma. Super guy. You'll not meet anybody nicer. It's somebody you're going to want to deal with. You can reach him at oktrapsupply.com. You can give Jeb a call at 918-429-4648. Not only does he do Trap Supply guys, he's a fur buyer, so if you're around the Oklahoma or surrounding states, give him a call with your fur. When you need stuff, give him a call and he'll get it out to you as soon as he can. Our second sponsor is F&T Fur Harvesters Trading Post. Everything you need for trapping, hunting with hounds, and predator calling. Guys, if you're into trapping fur, hunting fur, chasing fur with dogs, you're not going to be able to think of hardly anything that you can't get from F&T. You can reach them at fntpost.com. You can also give them a call at 989-727-8727. Whatever you want, F&T's got. Wildlife Control Supplies, proven solutions for wildlife control, delivering value, expertise, and products to the wildlife individual. If you're in the ADC business, control business, even fur trapping, you need to look at these guys' website. Top-notch company. Have everything you would want, even the odd stuff that ADC guys are looking for. You can reach them at wildlifecontrolsupplies.com. You can give them a call at 877-684-7262. International number is 860-844-0101. If you're a wildlife control professional, you need to have Wildlife Control Supplies as one of your favorites on your computer or your phone, because when you come across something that you need specialized equipment, Alan will get it right out to you. Now let's go trapping.
See, I'm a flag flying, Bible toting son of a gun. Yeah, I'm hell on the heart, just a rebel on the run. Scared, don't know it, fear, don't feel it. The truth is the light, sometimes you gotta fight. Good beats bad, right beats wrong. I'm a barroom preacher and this is my song. I'm climbing for the top, representing for the country. I'm the people's champ, right out to deer camp. Shotgun toter, Republican voter. Hank Jr. supporter, let's protect our border. To hell with anyone who don't believe in the USA. Cause this is what I say. I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my check till I ain't.
Well, hey there, folks, and welcome to Trapping Across America. I am so thankful to be sitting in with you again as guest host tonight of Trapping Radio. My name is Chip Davis, and Clint is out tonight taking care of some stuff for you guys. Believe it or not, it's a lot of exciting things in the pipeline that are on their way to you, and Clint is working on some of those now. was a little bit tied up and asked me if I could sit in for him and fill in for the show. And I've done this quite a few times already, and I absolutely treasure my time to hang out with you guys on a Friday night and talk about all things trapping. So that's what we're going to do tonight. And so we're just going to kind of jump right into this. It is late December. Christmas is almost here. So a lot of things have happened. It's a busy time of the year, busy time for the trap line as well. So we're going to talk about a lot of different things, just kind of kick back and relax and hang out together for a few minutes. So I welcome you, and I think we got a pretty good show lined up. And so you just heard the list of sponsors. I don't know what the right word is, but old school guy. I like the way things used to be sometimes, and I absolutely love the old-fashioned intro to Trapping Radio. And so when I host, a lot of times I've got that intro and I'll play it. And the important thing there is not so much about the intro as much as it is about the sponsors of Trapping Radio. The sponsors are the guys that have businesses in trapping that support this radio show that you just heard their list of names here a few minutes ago. The only problem with that is we've got a couple of new sponsors that have happened since that initial recording was there. One of those two new sponsors are Jeff Dunlap from Dunlap Lures. Jeff's a super, super cool guy. He's a great friend of mine, a brilliant lure maker. He's got really, really good products, and check him out and give him a try. He is the Death Dealer, and he's got some super good stuff. I've got lots of his lures in my bag, and I use them occasionally, quite often actually, on my own personal trap line, and it's good stuff. Everything I've tried of his is top notch, excellent. Jeff's a great guy, super, super knowledgeable. He's got a lot of online content. The other new supporter of our sponsor, rather, of our Trapping Radio is Funky Trap Tags. Alan owns this. Also Hilltop Outdoors. Their sister companies, Hilltop Outdoors and Funky Trap Tags. He's got a huge website. It's got just about everything you could ever want for trapping. He is does a lot of different type of merchandising. In other words, he's on Bonanza and Walmart and Amazon and all these other, a little bit new to the industry, but these things are happening. They're coming, and Alan's a super smart guy. He's embraced that and sees these happening. And so you can find Alan all over the place. Really, really good quality guy and a great guy to do business with. So as well as the rest of these sponsors, all of them that are listed there that you just heard the list of are super good quality people. I think I know somebody in every single one of those organizations just from having a chance to attend a lot of conventions and shows throughout the summertime. You meet these guys and you develop relationships with them, and they're really all super, super cool people. So as you're, it is Christmas time, you may be shopping for other trappers, you may be getting your kiddos some trapping equipment or lures or traps or whatever, supplies, whatever the case may be. When you get ready to spend your money, check out the people that are bringing you these types of shows like Trapping Radio and the Rant of a Free Trapper every single week for free. You know, guys, we don't have to pay for this at all, but it's so valuable, so much valuable information that Clint has put out there over all these years that it's just really, really good stuff. So support the folks that are supporting you. You know, that's just kind of, the way that to keep the ball rolling and keep things kind of coming back around. So I do appreciate you tuning in, and we're going to kind of jump in here. It is, I think, 2 weeks before Christmas. I have a chance to be with you tonight, and if everything goes like it is planned right now, I will sit in again next week, next Friday night, and bring you the Christmas show again. This, incidentally, and it was never planned like this, but this will be, I know for sure, my third Christmas show and maybe my fourth. I'm not positive. I know it's been three. This may be the fourth. And it's just kind of happened. If you remember a couple of years ago, Clint had a little bout with his eyes and I think it was called Fuchs disease that he had. And he's got that straightened out now and under control. But set in for him then when that was happening. And then maybe another time, I know last year I set in on the show immediately prior to Christmas. So I've been thinking about that quite a bit, and I've kind of got a lot of thoughts in my mind, but we're not quite there yet. We're a week away from it. So I do have the absolute distinct privilege of sitting in with you for a couple of weeks in a row here. So I'm looking forward to tonight's show, but I'm also looking forward to next week's show as well. I think it's going to be a doozy. So good deal. Well, there's so many new and exciting things happening in our industry right now. It's just everywhere you turn. It's just a great time to be alive. It's a great time to be in this business with trapping. I know that just the people here who regularly host shows on Trapping Radio, from Clint, myself, the Meat Trapper, and sometimes Jeff Dunlap, all of us have new products, and it's super, super exciting to on the behind the scenes type thing to be able to bounce ideas off of these guys and some of the true leaders here. And I can't tell you a lot, but I do know that Tim's got some new products he's working on. I've had a chance to see some of this truly amazing different things. I'm not going to go any further than that, but just be looking for something new and exciting coming from him. I understand Jeff's got some new things in the pipeline too, and I know Clint's got quite a few, some that we're working on together and some of them that have been a little challenging, but we continue to strive on and get things figured out, and it is just so much fun learning. And I may have a question about something I'm doing that he's had some completely similar but not so similar life episodes that he's helped me out of, and vice versa. So we can kind of bounce questions and ideas off of each other, and that's we learn as a result of that, and that is a lot of fun. So stay tuned on there's a lot of really new and exciting things that are coming down the pipe for sure. One thing that I can talk about a lot that Clint has brand new that's out there is he's got a brand spanking new coyote lure, predator lure more specifically, and it's called Coyote Claymore. Now, this stuff, just because it's coyote in the name, this stuff, it will be absolutely death on bobcats and fox and any predator species this works on. And I'm going to tell you how I know this, because the ingredients of Coyote Claymore are, there are three of them, and they are my all-time favorite and go-to coyote lures of anything I've ever used. A lot of times I'll catch bobcats in these same sets. You know, I'll set them for coyotes, but I'll have cats there. Same thing with reds and gray fox, both. Boss Dog, Federales, and Clint's Coyote Gland Lure, Coyote Booty Call, are in there. Now, what makes Coyote Claymore so special of a product? It's really, the reason that Clint did this is there were so many questions, and the market was saying, our customers were saying, hey, I understand, I see so many people that are bragging so much on Boss Dog and Federales and Coyote Booty Call, but how do I use them? What percentage, so how much Boss Dog should I use? How much Federales should I mix in on top of that? Do I mix them all together? Then do I use, you know, a spoonful, a twig, the end of a twigful? What volume do I use? Clint says, you know, I know a way to make this super, super easy. He pre-mixed them in the precisely exactly the right proportions. You don't have to worry about that. They're already pre-mixed and blended. I've got some. I've used some on my line. It works great. It's the exact same thing, but it's pre-mixed, and you don't have to worry about the getting the exact ratios of the Glandlure or the Federales, which is the bait component of that, or the Boss Dog, which is the lure component of that. You don't have to worry about getting all those mixed exactly right. And then, as far as what volume to use, I actually worked with Clint and I made him some dispensers. They kind of look like a little spoon. And you will see when you order your Coyote Claymore, it will come with one of those for free, included with your package. And the end of that kind of looks like a spoon. If you use a mouth that'll cover the end of that spoon, it's basically a spoonful. The only difference is this is not kind of hollowed out, not concave like a spoon is. It's, but, you know, without the concave part, it's exactly what it looks like. If you, it's a round, you know, little round piece on the end of that. That will be enough to, that'll give you a roughly, give or take, but really close to 50 sets out of a bottle of this Coyote Claymore. And that's how much you use. And that amount right there will last you a long time. I seldom do I re-lure unless I just had tons of rain. That's what we're going to talk about tonight as we get here, is the rain. You may can even hear it raining through the audio. I'm not sure. I'm in a metal building where I'm recording this, and So it is raining terribly hard out there right now. So it's been a real challenge this year, and that's what we're going to talk about here in just a few minutes. A couple times already I mentioned it is Christmas time, and that comes along with shopping and buying gifts and presents and taking care of the people that you really care for and love. And I know that a lot of that is going on. And also, our shopping days are quickly getting away. So I'll tell you about a couple of other real quick products that are easy gifts, easy way to buy it. One from me and one from Clint. Clint, you've probably heard, if you listen to Trapping Radio for any length of time, he has all of his DVDs and videos he compiled together, where you can download those and enjoy each and every one of them. You can buy them all, every single one of them, for one small lump sum. It's called howtotrapit.com, I think is the website for that. And that's a quick, easy. It can even be emailed as a gift. And so you'll have access to everything Clint's ever put out there on a DVD or video type format, all at your fingertips, and a downloadable viewing experience right there. You can watch on demand whenever you want to. Super. You don't have to worry about storing the DVDs or them getting wet or lost or whatever. If you want to watch them, all you do is you log on to that site, you use your passcodes that you'll have there after you make your purchase one time, and you can watch those things as long as you want. Tons and tons of knowledge from one of the best trappers in the country, one of the leading guys out there, and one with the heart of a teacher, and one that does such a great job explaining what he's doing and teaching you. I know I learned a ton from Clint watching these things. I had to do it the expensive way. I bought almost every one of those, I think, in the DVD form, and many years ago before this concept was ever there. So this is an electronic product. What that'll do for you is you can grab that when you're out of shopping days, by just simply sitting down at your computer, filling that out for whomever you would like to give that to, or maybe for yourself as well. So that's not a bad idea. Don't forget yourself here at Christmas time. Along the same lines, here at Expand a Pan, I own and run Expand a Pan along with my son, Bailey. And we actually have just done quite a bit of changing on our website and went to some behind the scenes stuff that we're doing a little bit differently now to make our packaging a little bit more efficient and continue. We really pride ourselves on great customer service and getting your orders straight out to you. We've been extremely busy this year, this fall, and probably our best fall that we've ever had. Lots of guys are trying and using and reordering our pans, and we certainly appreciate that, and we appreciate your business. Well, with this new software that we've used to kind of power our site, it doesn't look a lot different from the front side, but from the back side, some of the different engines that we're using now are different. And we had the opportunity to add a gift certificate. So that is something too, is one of those you run out of time type things. You can You can buy a gift certificate in pretty much any denomination. There's a number of them to choose from, and you can print that off, and there you go. And you don't have to wait for the store to be open to do that. So just another opportunity there that that might help you out. And as you know, this Christmas season, so you're getting ready, because we truly are only just slightly over 2 weeks away from Christmas Day itself. And when Santa Claus saddles up his sleigh, I guess. So I'm going to take a break and get a swig of water and be right back with you. And we'll get jumped with both feet right into the show. Excuse me there for a second, guys. I think that I have a new revenue stream that needs exploring. Many of you know that I farmed for some 30 years before getting out of the farm and pursuing quite a few other interests. We've got a construction company, and we do the expanded pans, and we trap, and we're just into several different things here. But when I was farming in July and August, and sometimes to start as early as June, we would get hot in the Mississippi Delta, and we'd have to irrigate. It was a way of life. And I think I have finally figured out a way that no farmer will ever have to run any irrigation for the rest of his life. I think I got it figured out. All he needs to do is call me and get me to get all my coyote traps together and come over there on his place and set coyote traps across his whole entire farm, because it's guaranteed to come a flood and rain within the first 3 days if I set coyote traps. I honestly think I've got that figured out. It seems this has been a crazy year to try to get started trapping. Several external things. We've just been busy, but more so than that, I've set, three or so, maybe four lines now already, and I think every single one of them have been washed from, you know, that I set. And this goes all the way back to probably the end part of September, certainly the first week or so of October when we started, and you set, and 3 days later you get a rain, and 2 days after that you get another rain, and then another rain, and then another rain, and it's raining now. And what in the world, how can you keep a coyote line going in this kind of terrible rain? This has also affected us on the construction side of things too. I've got a bulldozer and a track hoe that we run and doing dirt work primarily. And we work 1 or 2 days a week, and it rains and we're soaking wet the rest of the time. By the time it finally dries up, we may get a day in, sometimes we don't, and then it comes another rain and we set up again. So that part's actually giving me time to trap. But the problem is we've got a mud hole we're trying to set in. And so let's talk about trapping in the rain. I think that may be a pretty neat topic. I don't have many notes. I just kind of want to go off the top of my head and let this be organic. And so as we start, I kind of want to lead off with a little bit of an abstract idea here. Is it even smart to fight it? And is it smart to trap in adverse conditions anyway? And I'm going to use hunting a big deer analogy here. Many of you know Travis, who is Clint's helper, and he's actually has a podcast on Trapping Radio too, because the hunting and fishing and trapping podcast, I think, is what he calls that. And Travis has got a couple of big deer, and he's been asking me for some advice on how to approach them and how to hunt them and different things. And so Travis and I have gone back and forth on methods, and I'm not here to teach you how to kill a big deer, but I am here to say that there's some really, really good analogies between what I told Travis and what I see myself faced with this, trying to get this coyote line established and maintainable for the season. You know, typically by now, you know, we've been trapping for a couple of months at least by now. We're running every single day and maintaining lines, and you know, as we come to the tail end of you know, this 14-day line, then we're already starting on the next 14-day line. And usually take about 3 days to transition in the year on the new one, and it just never stops, and it rolls all the way through trapping season. Not so this time. It's start and it's stop. And then it's start and it's stop. And wait a few more days and then, well, we're going to delay because we got 100% chance of rain tomorrow and start again and then get washed out again. So so several things I do. And I want to preface this really, really from the front that I am not the best coyote trapper out there at all. It'd be hard pressed for anybody to love it much more than I do. I absolutely love what I do out there. Chasing these coyotes around, but I'm not the best at all. I have picked up a few little tidbits here and there that I think may can help a guy and our girl, and that's what I want to share with you and talk to you about. So, is it even smart to do it? Well, as Travis was explaining to me his big deer thing, he knows where this deer's beds, he knows where this deer feeds primarily in earlier season. He kind of has a pretty good handle on where the does are hanging out and that sort of thing. And I gave Travis a little piece of advice that he didn't like to hear. And that's okay. And he's going to figure this out. Travis is a smart kid and he's well on his way. He's very, very likely will shoot one of these big bucks that he's chasing and all that. But here's Travis's problem. He wants to go all the time. And if he's got a bad wind, he still wants to go. If he's got, so let's just talk about that real quick. If you go hunt this big deer and the wind's blowing from you to him and he smells you, he knows you're there. He's going to know you're there regardless anyway. And he is, he's going to get boogered. He's going to get what we call pressured. And he's more than likely going to move. If you do that enough, he's definitely going to move. So that's kind of the deer hunting analogy. And I'm just picking on Travis a little bit because we've been going back and forth about that. And I think Travis is kind of realizing that, you know, here's the other way that he could do this. He could have all of his equipment ready. He could spend plenty of time shooting his bow, plenty of time sighting his rifle in, plenty of time getting his stands in tip-top shape. And then all of a sudden, when he gets that perfect north-northwest wind that he needs, his temperatures drop down to exactly where big deer typically in his part of the world get on their feet and start traveling. The time of the year is right. Then and only then do you go in there. Your chances of success go up astronomically. It is just amazing how much more you stack the odds in your favor by doing that. Well, the same thing goes hand in hand with trapping. And I'm going to talk a lot about coyote trapping because that's what I do. Sometimes I trap other species, but I'm primarily shooting at coyotes. So I'm a coyote guy. That's what I love to do. And that's what we're doing here specifically for the live market. But that really doesn't matter. It's just coyote trapping right now or trying to. So can I catch a coyote in the mud and the rain? Yes. Yes, we can. We have. We do. We've got some in the holding pen now. Yes, we can catch a coyote in the rain. Is it the most efficient way? Is it the most fun way? Are there other things that can be done a lot better? Absolutely. It's kind of like hunting that big deer with a bad wind, hunting him when it's not right, hunting him when he's been overpressured. It's kind of like that without so much the reactions from the animals. I don't know that the animals are going to react any different like a deer would when he knows that you're there. These coyotes are going to know you're in this area anyway. So I'm just kind of wondering, is it make more sense maybe if you, instead of fighting this, and this is what I've, it's not real fun because I want to have coyote traps set all the time. That's what I want to do. But sometimes it seems like maybe my numbers are going better than rather than fighting this stuff and coming back sloppy, nasty, muddy every single morning at 10:30, 11 after I've been running since daylight. Instead of that, it may be, let's keep these traps in tip-top shape. When we got this inclement weather, rather than fight it, let's get our equipment tuned up. Let's get it ready. Let's be ready to go. You know, instead of running 50 traps in the slop and mud because that's all you can handle, maybe now I can have 150 out when the conditions finally do get right. Because I heard a really, really wise man say one time that it dries up after every rain spell. The same guy also says it rains after every dry spell. So the weather's going to change. That part is constant. It will dry up. These conditions are going to get better. And I'm just wondering, in my own mind, and maybe am I better served on either waiting until the conditions are right or maybe cutting down the number of sets that I'm running and make sure I've got plenty of equipment to heat it hard when it does dry up a little bit. So a few more specifics about trapping in the rain. This is one that I faced just recently back this spring. I say spring, it's actually February of this past year. I was on a trip with Carl and Clint, and Tim actually joined us on that trip. We had a great time. We trapped and trapped hard. Leading up to that trip, Carl and I had been there and had got set. I think we had been there roughly a week. Maybe not quite that long, had everything set, and coyote sign was everywhere. It looked great. Well, many of you know, if you're not a brand new trapper, what's probably one of the most important rules in trapping, and that's to set on sign. There's one prerequisite to catch a coyote. It's the same prerequisite to catch a raccoon or a beaver or an otter or a bobcat or anything else that you're trapping for, is he's got to be there. Well, how do you know he's there? You can't catch him if he's not there. The way you know he's there is you let him tell you he's there by his sign. Reading sign is, in my opinion, paramount, a number one, what every good trapper that I've ever been around, and I've had an opportunity to be around lots, they're all experts in reading sign and learning from the coyote or learning from substitute whatever animal you're interested in there. So does the sign change? Does the animal's habits change? Well, what happened on that trip and that we were on last February, the animals absolutely changed. We were sitting on some of the most pristine, 15 or 20 sets of different sets of coyote tracks going east and another 15 or 20 sets of different coyote tracks going west. And it was a coyote interstate through there. And we set it, and we set it heavy. And 3 days into this, our traps were 5.5 or 6 inches underwater. And they stayed that way for most of 14 days there. I mean, it was, you had to laugh to keep from crying. It was just so frustrating. You know, all that work, and you had great looking sets in, and they were, you know, not only, you know, had water in them, they were underwater. And underwater to the point that what happened to all those coyotes? They didn't leave. They changed. They adapted, and they changed to their surroundings and what was going on around them. And what they did was went to the high ground. Well, we kind of, you know, had a big slice of humble pie there as hard as Carl and I worked. And we knew it was going to rain. In our defense, we didn't realize we were going to get that kind of rain, but we did. And when Clint and Tim show up, he says, "Hey, why don't you sit where the coyotes are?" And then that was kind of easy to say then, because their habitat had habits had absolutely changed when they used to run down the coyote interstate. Now they were up on the levees or up on the higher ground, and that sort of thing. So I thought maybe I would kind of go into some tips that I found and maybe a couple of different sets that I found that I used to kind of stack the odds a little bit in my favor. In rainy and stormy weather, I am in Mississippi, so is my home. I trap in several states, but I don't do a lot of snow trapping at all. But I like to use a snow trapping analogy. I've got lots of friends that live up north that do trap in the snow. I've seen a ton of their work and their videos and visit with them. And I have trapped in the snow, but my snow trapping and someone in Wisconsin or Minnesota's snow trapping is entirely different. My snow trapping will have 3 or 4 snows a year that will range anywhere from 1/2 inch that'll last a couple of days up to maybe a big snow for us is 4, 5, 6 inches, and it only lasts a few days and it's gone. So so if we get snowed on, we may lose a day or two. So I absolutely am not qualified to talk to you about snow trapping, but one thing I've noticed of my friends that do and do this a lot, and this is their everyday environment, and they're forced to trap in the snow all year long, is they look for areas where the snow is not drifting up. They look for areas almost bare dirt a lot of times where maybe the wind blows it. And if you can combine that with animal sign or whatever you're trapping, that's typically where they seem to set. Several of these guys, I think Jeff Dunlap specifically, I asked him, I said, how I'm imagining 15, 20 foot snow drifts, which they get up there occasionally. And I said, how in the world do you ever keep a trap working? Because you don't know, you can set it today and have a light dust in the snow over the top of it, and the trap's working perfectly, even if you do the antifreeze and all that. But you may get 3 feet of snow tonight, and you know, you may not see your trap again until springtime. It's just, you'd have to find it with a metal detector or something. And so that's when they started, he and several other guys have started kind of explaining to me, well, you know, you still got to set on sign, but you also want to really, I think it forces those guys. And if you're one of those that are trapped in the snow, I think it forces you to maybe even become a little better on setting on sign or reading sign and finding those right locations. Because now not only do you have to get on location and find the animals, but you also have to have the right spot to be able to set your trap to keep it working. We don't have that in the South, and we don't face that issue a lot. Certainly not the piling, driving snow, but we do have rain. We have, it seems like this year, constant rain. And so, you know, the rain doesn't necessarily blow up in drifts, but what it does is puddle up in puddles a lot. And some of these puddles can be deep, and some of these can be backwater. And so it's kind of like setting, you know, snow setting, in that you can find the higher areas. You still want to, just like the snow trapping, you still want to be on location. You still want to set on sign, but you're going to find that the animals, they don't want to be wet either. Unless you're talking about a beaver or an otter, a coyote doesn't necessarily want to be wet either. Will he go across the water? He absolutely will. He'll go across the Mississippi River if he's got a reason to. But typically, that's not what he wants to do. Typically, he wants to go on the easiest route, and he wants to have the easiest path between A and B. And a lot of times in rainy, wet, soggy, nasty conditions, that's going to be the higher grounds. This may be, if it's a dredged ditch, which we see a lot in the agriculture areas where I typically trap, he may be right up on top of that ditch as a travel way. That's exactly precisely the story I was telling you from Arkansas a few moments ago, where we were seeing all that coyote superhighway was in the edge of the field where that happened to be the lowest point. All the coyotes did was move about 15 yards, but instead of walking down the edge, they were walking down the top of what we call a spoil bank, a dredged ditch where they pile the dirt after a track hose has gone through there, and it creates a higher bank on the side of the ditch. We call them spoil banks, but because the spoil from the bottom of the ditch that created that. But at any rate, that's what those coyotes did. They just moved up about 15 yards. They were still there. And once we saw that and adjusted to that, we were back catching coyotes again. So that's the sort of thing that you want to do. You know, it doesn't even have to be man-made. It can be natural. It can be, you know, if you have any topography, and I trap a lot in the Delta regions of Mississippi, Louisiana, and Arkansas, and even the Delta, as flat as it may seem as you drive through, it has topography to it. So, I do instructions. I've done several different instructions, and I always teach people, always look at the highs and the lows, you know, and then that's going to depend on your weather and what you got going on. But typically those stand out. It seems like to me that, you know, for coyotes, they prefer the highs or they prefer the lows, but not so much the in-betweens. Yeah, that's not a rule. There is no hard, fast rule in coyote trapping. But those highs and weather like we're having right now, the higher topography, higher elevation areas, even if that's only a few inches higher, can sometimes mean a really great extreme difference in your success. And that's just by simply being on location and being on location based on that has just recently changed based on the weather. So, you know, the next thing that that a guy can certainly think about is go to snares. It is so much harder to keep a trap itself working. You know, I love the physics of traps. I love the function of traps. I love setting traps. I do set quite a few snares. I wouldn't necessarily even call myself a snareman, although I catch a good percentage of my coyotes in snares each and every year. But I still like trap. I'm just a trapper, I guess. I like the trap itself better. I've been fascinated by the physics and function of a trap ever since the first time I saw one. And to me, that's still the ultimate to me. I literally get chills in my spine every single time that I see a coyote jumping in a trap that I set for him. It just does something to me. And so I just think there's something sexy about a trap. So I like trapping. But when you have weather like this, snares are a real option, and I will go heavier on snares. You know, typically the snares are set, especially for some of the newer guys that may be listening, more of a blind set. That's kind of the traditional use under fences, on ditch crossovers, grass fields, on trails like that. So that's typically the use for blind sets. There are ways to do lured snare sets as well, to use lure at snares, and I will mix that up. Sometimes I absolutely will use lure at a snare set, and you know, especially if I have a pretty good idea about the direction he's coming from. You never know for certain, but a lot of times I will back off on the corner, and I'll try to get some scent out there on the air, and use your wind and your benefit there, and use that animal's curiosity a little bit against him. And so there's a couple of different snare sets there. The snare doesn't matter if it's raining or not. It's going to work. The only enemy that snare has is maybe freezing rain that we get occasionally, but that's typically only a handful of times throughout the winter that we're faced with that. And so a snare is much more reliable when we have the rainfall that we've had, like we have the last couple of months already now. So that's the next thing, is using snares and using them wisely. On the traps, in the traditional setting the traps and setting the traps in the earth, you want to probably migrate more and more and more away from dirt holes when you have this kind of weather. Well, why? This is, again, for the newer guys. Why would you, I've caught coyotes in dirt holes since I started in late September or early October, and dirt holes work. I'm a dirt hole guy. I've got it figured out. The problem is, when you get these 4 and 5 inch rains, these dirt holes are level full of water. You know, there goes your lure. There goes your bait. This stuff is pretty expensive. I know Clint would love for you to buy all that you need and continue to buy it, but also he would be the first one to tell you is use this wisely and don't waste it. Because if you put it down a hole and you get 5 inches of rain, and that hole, even if that hole may be 18 inches deep that you dug, your dirt hole, it seems like that there is a indirect proportion that 1 inch of rain can fill up 18 inches of dirt hole, it seems like. I'm not exactly sure the math and the science behind there, but I promise you it doesn't take 18 inches of rain to fill up an 18 inch deep dirt hole. It seems like it can cloud up and water will start boiling out of there on my line. But so not only is your set ineffective, then there goes your lure, there goes your bait, you're washed out. We hadn't even started talking about keeping the trap bedded solidly or keeping it covered properly or all these other issues. But did Chip just tell you never to use a dirt hole when it rains? No. Okay, now I'm really talking crazy, right? So I just went through a little mini rant of how evil dirt holes are when it's raining, but occasionally I will still use them. Now, how in the world, there's two ways that you can make a dirt hole and still have it working really, really effectively and still be catching animals even in rain like this. Well, it's got to be one of two things that I have found. And here again, there's a lot of coyote trappers out there that are a lot better and more experienced and seasoned than I am. But these are some things that over many, many years of catching these things and chasing these things that I have figured out. You can do what I refer to as an inverted dirt hole, which is at the absolute... Now, what this is going to require is a bank of some sort. It doesn't have to be an 8-foot tall bank. it's got to be just some sort of elevation change from where your trap is. At the absolute worst case scenario, I put these dirt holes in with an auger. I've got a DeWalt cordless drill. I've actually got two of them and multiple batteries that I use. And I have augers that you can buy from any of the sponsors you heard at the first of the show. All these sponsors of Trapper Radio that are not straight lure makers, they'll all carry these augers. And I put that auger straight in this cordless drill. And you can literally just like drilling a hole, just like you were going to drill a hole with a drill bit inside a piece of wood or metal. You can drill that dirt hole in the ground. So I see a lot of you guys are shaking your head. There may be some new guys that's a tidbit of information that you had never heard, but life gets easier with a cordless drill. Well, when you find that bike, and this can be a road ditch that only goes up 18 inches, 24 inches to, say, the woods, but the road is a little bit lower. I use this quite a bit in that situation. You can have that dirt hole. You typically want to be on your knees when you install the dirt hole. I like to do the dirt hole first, and then I like to set my trap, because that way now I know what the hole looks like, and I can better envision how the coyote's going to work it. A lot of times, I may think I'm going to put it, horizontally in, or maybe a slight even inverted uptick. So basically the front of the hole is lower than the back of the hole. What all this is for is so no rain can run into the hole. Water does not run uphill. So that's the whole idea, is to keep this dirt hole working. If you really like dirt holes, and I'll typically always have a few, I'm more of a flat set guy by nature anyway, but I'll still like to incorporate, I think change is good on a coyote line. I don't think they like to see the same exact thing. They're a smart animal to start with. And the more they see the same thing, then I think the quicker they get wise. They get wise to us almost all the time anyway, but it takes a little longer when you're using a variety of sets. So I'll use that inverted dirt hole. At the better case scenario is to have a pretty good upward angle on that dirt hole where there's no chance of water raining in. Now your baiting lure is going to last a long time. Now you get that stuff on in there, 16, 18 inches deep. You also have a roof and a dry spot for your bait to live while everything else is damp and washed out, and the rain is dampened the odors and the scents and the smells, and your lure is one of the stoutest things there. And that's if you've got good lure and good bait, much like predator control groups, then that stuff is going to really work for you, even more so than it normally would, because most of the other odors and smells of the woods are kind of diminished or dampened down by the moisture that's in the environment at that time. So those are inverted dirt holes. There's another dirt hole that I use occasionally. Where I typically use this is on the side of a ditch or the side of a creek or the side of a culvert somewhere. You got to be a little bit cautious when you use this, where if you're in an area that has a lot of soil erosion, you don't want to create a problem for your farmer, but especially if this is on the side of a culvert. But you can put a traditional downward dirt hole in, but I would want to be, so I'm going to be on the edge of, let's say a road's going to go across a culvert. It also could be a road paralleling a ditch or a creek. And so I want to be within about 12 or 15 inches of the absolute edge, where the edge breaks over and the water, say that rained and the water breaks over the edge and runs down into the creek. I want to be within, roughly a foot, maybe a little more than that out there. I want to angle my auger down toward the ditch. I'm up in the road again now, a foot or so up in the flat part of the road, but I'm angling that auger and that hole down toward the creek. All right. So I know that if I've got an 18 inch long auger on my drill, and I typically go all the way to where my chuck is on the drill, I'm 13, 14 inches away from the break, or the where the water would actually roll over and start going right down the ditch bank, then I know I may not pop that whole entire dirt hole out, but I will have it really, really close. What I'll do at that point in time is I'll take about three steps down in the ditch, And here again, you kind of visualize where your hole is going, and I will take a earth anchor driver, and usually you only have to pop it two or three times, and you literally can hear an echo in that hole when that earth anchor driver pops through, and then all of a sudden you've got a drain in there. You've got a area that, you know, my earth anchor driver is maybe half or three quarters, probably closer to half inch in diameter. When you pop through that solid ground, you'll hear a thud or a hollow sound almost. And that water that goes, you're still not going to prevent the water from getting into your dirt hole, but it's got somewhere to go as soon as it does. It's getting in there and draining straight out of there. It's just like pouring coffee in a cup that has a half inch hole in the bottom of it. It's not going to stay there very long. This will, and what I will do in rainy situations like that, I may increase my frequency of reluring and rebaiting then, because now I am still getting my bait and my lure in the environment, you know, in a moist, very, very, very humid environment. I find it doesn't last quite as long then, but I don't have water standing in my dirt hole at that point in time. So there's your there's the drained dirt hole set, and something to kind of think about in regards you know, to that and trapping in the rain. So you could do the, you know, the level of the inverted dirt hole, or you could stick a drain in them, and it doesn't take that much longer. Or you can go, and this is what I typically do, although I do incorporate the dirt holes like we just talked about, but I'm a big flat set guy anyway. I love a flat set, and there's so many varieties of flat sets. There's tons of different things that you can do. I guess probably the most common and the one that's demonstrated as much as any I've ever seen is just the plain old grass clump flat set, where basically there's not a dirt pattern there. When you get through with that set, you get through making that set, you want it to look really, really similar to like it looked before you ever stepped up there. You know, it's you're going to lure a big tall grass clump, or you're going to use something for backing there. You know, you're going to put your trap out in front of that, and you're going to, you know, put your bait and lure in the grass clump, you know, preferably for a coyote, something big enough that you can't work it from the backside, or if it's, when I find this, I set them up almost every single time, especially if they're signed there, blackberry thickets. We have them here all the time, and it's not comfortable walking through these briar patches, you know, and that's typically where you will go pick blackberries in the springtime. But these things have thorns on them if you live somewhere that does not grow blackberries, and they will cut you to shreds if you try to walk through there. They will absolutely cut you to ribbons. So I use that as a backing a lot on flat sets, because I know I can't be approached from the backside when I do that. And then, you know, you would typically lure whatever that backing is, and obviously in hopes the animal is going to approach it from the front and come across your trap and get caught. For a number of years, we made a product called a lure maker. Many of you are familiar with the portable pockets that Clint's so much a fan of. What ours basically was a miniature portable pocket that was not at all designed to anchor the trap. It had that was one of the really cool functions of that portable pocket, was you could also anchor your trap with it. Ours was not designed there, but it was designed to keep your lure off the ground, is basically. And I know that there is a similar product. I'm probably going to regret even saying this, because I'm not going to tell you who or where, but I just know that there is a real similar product. We got out of the business of building those things commercially. I still build quite a few of them and use quite a few of them for myself, but there was a completely different reason that we just made the decision not to pursue that market and not to make those. But they're a great tool, and that product is coming out. I cannot tell you. I don't know what the trade name was going to be, and I'm not comfortable telling you who's going to handle it, but coming soon, there'll be a product similar to that that's in the works that will be out. And those are really, really great tools. Basically what they are is going to be a place to hold your lure up a little bit off the ground, and you use those in flat set type environments. The problem with that grass clump set is, in when it's raining like this, you're still going to wash that lure and that bait and that scent all down into wherever that water and that rain is going. You're diluting your set quite a bit when you do that. So the next best thing there is if you have that lure protected in some sort of device, then that's a really cool alternative for you right there, and something that we find to be highly, highly successful on. And so I do like the lure holders a lot, and they accomplish several tasks by preserving your bait and your lure and keeping it out of the, not only out of the rain, but also out of the sun. And that's also an equal enemy. When you have the opposite weather pattern that we have right now is baking sun and hot temperatures. And sometimes we're faced with that. And when that happens, then that's also a problem. So when you have that lure, that bait protected, and you're out of both the sun or the rain, then that's an advantage that you have in your corner for you. Well, a couple of other things, and I'm going to try to finish this up, is blind sets. I absolutely love the Mafia set. Clint and others have explained this over and over and over. Basically, any type of blind set, a Mafia set is just a version of that, is here again for the new guys, is basically you've got a sign. You know that the coyote's here. Typically, this is going to be on a trail. You've got a really, really good idea. I trap, especially when I trap in the hill regions, a lot of old abandoned cow pastures, and these guys run cattle in these things throughout the spring, summer, and fall, and a lot of times they'll pull them out of there during the winter months, and I have these cow trails that are literally just about as wide as my traps are. When I put those big expander pans on my traps, I'm filling up the whole entire trail. If he comes across there, he's got a really good chance of stepping on that trap. You know, in a situation like that, I don't use lure. I don't use bait at all of any kind. I'm just simply, that's why it's called a blind set. He's blinded to anything that's there at all, and he just walks across it and he gets caught. If you want to double that up, you put the two traps lever to lever. It's called a Mafia set. The only thing different you do there is you'll use a drop and a scat and put right in between there, and that just, you know, then he doesn't have an option but to step on it there or step on the scat, which they really don't like to do. And so whichever direction he's coming, he's got a extremely percentage-wise higher possibility of getting caught. The other set that I've really gotten to like a whole lot here in the last couple of years is I've seen this a number of different varieties and variations of it, but basically most people call it the government set. Typically, this is going to be a big rock or a big, I've used logs for this. It can be anything that's somewhat big in nature. When I say big, I'm going to say roughly 2 feet across by, at least 18 inches the other way. It can be a circle, it can be a rectangle, it can be any kind of natural shape. This can be even a big limb. It can be a number of different things. But when you see these, I think a lot of the government trappers out west really started using these a lot, and they would use that shale rock when they would see that big shale rock. And the way that set is constructed typically is you will build this along the travel way, and you'll basically pick up whatever. I'm going to tell you what I most recently did. We set this and we found a big piece of metal. Now, I'm not even sure what it started life as. It was probably some sort of farm machinery at one time. It had been run over and folded up and different things, and it was laid over there. It was natural. It was all rusted up. It was in the edge of the woods. But it was right at a four-way intersection where that dumped out into a horse pasture. I set this at a trapper's college that our state association just recently put on a month or a little better ago. And so when I saw that big piece of metal, I said, this would be perfect for a government set. That's what we want to do. And so basically what I did first is dig a small hole, not anything like a dirt hole for a coyote, but I'm talking about, 6 or 8 inches deep, and I put my lure in it. If you really want this to be a longer lasting set, if you know you're going to be set on this thing for, 14 days or longer, you can put this in a small container of some sort. You can put it in what I actually did. You just want to be careful that you pick this up when you get done. But I put mine in a snuff can. I just had a snuff can. I put a little dirt in there. It was empty, and I put a little dirt in there. It kind of wiped around. I didn't worry about getting all the smell out, but I just dug my little hole, and just enough to kind of put that in there. I put a small trench about an inch or inch and a half deep. I just got a little trowel that I trapped with, and I drug that. I just made a trench from the snuff can out left and out right. So this trench saved my piece of metal on this scenario. It was about 30 inches long, so the center of that's 15. So I dug a 15-inch trench out toward where my trap was on the left, and a 15-inch trench out toward where my trap was on the right, and I put the metal right back down on top of it. Now I've got a lid on my bait and lure. My bait and lure is in a container. I've seen a lot of guys use tin cans or like Viney sausage cans or anything like that. And just all that's doing is just protecting your lure and your bait a little bit better. The trench there, here again, the rock or the piece of metal or the log or whatever is going on top of this, the trench is to allow that scent a little bit freer travel there. You know, and allow air currents to get through there. You don't have to overdo this. The trench is only just enough for air can flow through there. This modern bait and lure from a good lure manufacturer is so good. You don't have to worry about it getting out. It will get out, I promise you. And that's all you need, just to have a little bit of airflow through there. And then you bait a trap on either end of that, left or right. You could even take that, ratchet that up to the next level, and you could put four traps there. You have top, bottom, left, right, if you had a good enough location. When I use this set, I almost invariably have these traps on drags. The beauty of that is you catch that coyote on that, your chance of a double goes way up. Most of the time, what's going to happen on a good quality drag, that coyote's going to tangle up right over there. His buddies are going to see him, and they don't understand he got caught by a trap. They do understand something's gone, and they're probably going to circle him a little bit. They're going to have a lot of curiosity. Well, you still got that whole set right there that the first one got caught in. Now you got him staked out, not staked out on a stake or earth anchor, but you've got him on a drag that's, it's typically, within circle distance. And when he's on his circle path, trying to figure out what happened to the coyote that got caught, then he's right back across that same set that's still working with the same efficiency as it was when you caught the first one. So I really like that, and I've gone to a lot of those in this rainy, nasty kind of weather we have. So that's another one to think about. And here's the deal. It's just use your imagination. Think about what the weather's doing to you, and think about how you can use that to your advantage. A lot of times what's happening is these coyotes will be more concentrated, just like in Arkansas, where we sit in the edge of the field that was the low. It concentrated all those coyotes up to the higher parts. We came back with snares and traps, and we caught coyotes in both after that because we had the coyotes a little bit more concentrated. What we thought was a lot of wasted work turned out to be really and truly an advantage. But we were so much, crying and sobbing over in our own misery that we our eyes were blinded to see the advantage that actually was in front of us. There's a lot of lessons right there that can go a lot further than trapping, but that's a real one, real life example that we saw that just because it's raining, that doesn't mean you stay home. It absolutely does not. I still got some traps working right now. I'm not going to put forth quite maybe the effort to go set up a huge line with all this nasty conditions when I don't have to, but say I'm on a trip when I've got to or not trapped, then heck yeah, I'm going to set, I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to be out there in the crud and get nasty and we'll get with them. So it all depends on what your situation is. But, if I'm what I call home trapping and not on a trip and not on a job where I don't have to, then I'm going to probably choose my timing a little bit more wisely. If I'm in an area that I've got the luxury of setting where I want to and when I want to, and I can get on that same spot regardless if it's this week or next week, a lot of times I may wait till it dries up. So you want to do what's right for you, and you want to trap when it's right for you. But those may be some tools that can help you out as you go through this season. If it's raining and nasty where you are, it sure is where I'm at. And I wish you the absolute best of luck. Guys, remember, Christmas is just right around the corner. Be getting ready for it. I'm going to sit in with you next week if nothing happens, and bring you a really, really cool show that's going to have a lot of trapping, but it's also going to be tied back to some personal experiences and some stories that I've got for you. And I can't wait to bring you that show next week. So this is absolutely something I look forward to. It's been a while since I sat in with you, but guys, it's been my privilege and my honor to sit in with you guys. I said it before and I'll say it many more times. You're the absolute salt of the earth, best, excuse me, common sense people on the face of the planet is the North American Trapper. And my hat's off to you. I appreciate you staying tuned in with me to the end of this show. And until next week when I host Trapper Radio again, Godspeed to you. Good luck. Get out there and have you some fun.
On the Gulf Stream, I hear the south wind moan. The bridge is getting lower, the shrimp boat's coming home. The old man down in the quarter slowly turns his head, takes a sip from his whiskey bottle, and this is what he said. I was born in the rain on the Ponce train underneath the Louisiana moon. I don't mind the strain of a hurricane, they come around every June. The high black water, a devil's daughter, she's hot, she's cold, and she's mean. But nobody taught her it takes a lot of water to wash away New Orleans. Came down from Chicago, he gonna set that levee right. He says it needs to be at least 3 feet higher, it won't make it through the night. But the old man down in the quarter, he said, don't you listen to that boy. The water be down by the morning, and he'll be back to Illinois.
It takes a lot of water to wash away.